Chinese exports surge as the US recovers and India stalls. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. China's exports were higher than expected in April as America's speedy recovery from the pandemic spurred demand. Slower factory production in India as the country struggles with the coronavirus crisis there also helped divert attention to Chinese goods. Exports rose by more than 32% from a year earlier to almost $264 billion. And imports did well too, up 43%. Although some economists argue the figures are heavily skewed as they're compared to the period a year ago when the country was brought to a standstill by strict lockdown measures. The BBC's Claire Williamson has more.
A booming US economy and the COVID-19 crisis in India, causing some orders to shift to China, are likely to have contributed to the strong export growth. But the recovery of the world's second largest economy still faces some major challenges. Analysts expect China's GDP growth to slow from the record 18.3% expansion in the January to March quarter. That comes as the pandemic disrupts supply chains around the world, slowing the movement of goods and pushing up the cost of shipping. The global shortage of microchips, which are used in everything from cars to phones, is also hurting manufacturers. Despite these hurdles, economists expect China's export growth to stay strong in the second half of this year, though, as American consumers continue to prop up demand. I'm the BBC's Claire Williamson for Marketplace.
Let's check in with the markets now. The FTSE 100 in London has hit a 14-month high. It continues to rally on hopes of an economic rebound. However, it's not recovered to pre-pandemic levels yet, unlike the Dow Jones and the other European indices, which have hit new highs. A rush of pent-up vacation demand is set to be unleashed today when the UK government reveals the first countries to make its green list, which allows for quarantine-free travel from England later this month. Only a handful of countries are likely to be given the thumbs up as government ministers try to keep a handle on the pandemic. However, there are concerns that the additional testing required may add to the cost of foreign travel this summer, as travel expert Lisa Francesca Nand explained to me.
If you think about a family of four who say would like to go to Spain, and if Spain is on the amber list at the moment, that means they'd have to have a test to travel, a test to travel back, a test at day two and a test at day eight, and also to isolate at home. And the cost of testing is so high at the moment. I know some companies are looking into bringing it down. TUI, for example, have said that if you book with them, a holiday with them, they'll do a test for £20 for green list countries.
So £20 is probably about $35 or so for people coming from abroad. Clearly, hotels and other sort of big tourist sites here in the UK will be wanting to open their doors again to foreign visitors. What's going to happen on that front, do you think?
People coming to the UK is a major, major concern for us. You know, it's a multi-million pound industry. Now, obviously, if it's a green list country, then you'll be able to visit here, fine. But if it's an amber list country, then it's going to be a struggle for anyone to do a 10-day isolation, whether they're coming back home to the UK or going to stay in a hotel or different accommodation. The only saving grace is that the green list is going to be looked at every 3 to 4 weeks. So by the summer, there should be more countries on the green list.
Travel expert Lisa Francesca Nand, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we've been covering the Wall Street investment craze, where investors create a so-called blank check private company known as a SPAC. Grab, a ride-sharing company from Southeast Asia, is set to merge with a SPAC to become the largest of its kind to list on the Nasdaq. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani reports now on Grab's astonishing growth story.
From a ride-sharing service to food deliveries, Grab has become the go-to super app in Southeast Asia, a market of 600 million people and the region's most valuable startup in just over a decade. But its ambitions don't stop there.
If I were to pay for the high monthly interest rates, I don't think I could survive.
Natakan Kingfat opened his restaurant in Bangkok during the first wave of COVID-19 last year. He needed to borrow money to expand, but going to a traditional bank was never an option.
So when Grab offered the loans, I made a calculation. There's a function in the Grab app that I could go in and look at how much per day I had to pay back. I reckoned I would be able to pull it off, so I chose this way.
Grab made $1.6 billion in revenue last year. Financial services, including digital payments, accounted for 18% of that. The company hasn't made a profit yet, but hopes its historic listing in the US will raise funds for future expansion. But some analysts warn there are considerable risks ahead.
They have forecasted very good numbers, but I think the devil's in the details.
Robson Lee is a partner at Gibson Dunn, a legal and financial advisory firm.
Digital banking in Southeast Asia is going to be tough because regulators will definitely be very protective of their turfs.
Grab's leadership, however, are confident about their strategy. According to a filing, it projects annualized growth of 42% through 2023. Ruben Lai runs the firm's financial services division.
For us, our target segment is actually that 18 to 35 customer segment that traditionally were not served by banks.
But Grab is not the only tech firm targeting growth in digital financial services in Southeast Asia. Indonesia's Gojek Super App and South Korean e-commerce giant Coupang, which listed on the NYSE in March, are all entering the fray too. Driving away the competition and capturing market share will be key to Grab's success. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
Before we go, have you heard of fidget rings? Apparently they're all the rage. These are rings designed to be fiddled with in video calls. Searches are up 500% on the online seller Etsy. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathna with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.